Down to brass tacks. Some messages here. This person says, you know what baffles me? It's the hypocrisy. It doesn't bother me one way or the next about independence celebrations, but you can pack buses to celebrate an election victory. And this person says, did you know that some workers at the Colony Club Hotel were severed yesterday as the occupancy is way down? Workers at Sandals have also been laid off, says the writer. It's going to be a rough Christmas period for many families this year. And someone else says here that the issue with the parade is the lack of communication about it, not the parade itself. Yet another person says here, elections went on with a bus full of supporters without masks, and the people should be setting the example. Oh, this is Miss Undecided who has written this. And she goes on to say, callers just love to hear me to come after me. I am not frightened, so she says. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Johnson.
David Ellis.
Oh, Mr. Davis Ellis, a great man. I'm concerned, though.
About?
The country's in trouble, a lot of trouble with...
With what?
Well, I read an article in the paper about the NIS not getting the right governance. And a lot of workers trying to, you know, claim for their retirement early.
A lot of workers are unemployed.
The country right now, I'm just praying and hoping that the leader is leading by, you know, the power of the Almighty Father. Because the country is really in trouble. What do you think?
Well, small countries are always under pressure. Even bigger countries are under pressure, but the smaller ones have, you know, issues of limited resources. Basically, much of the economy is wrapped up in one industry or the other. Then there are the external factors that come at us. We have to deal with the cultural penetration.
Right.
Has become a major part of
right.
of life today. So, you know,
yes
we there hasn't been a period when we weren't faced with problems. But what we have, we've got the capacity as a people to identify the problems and try to work to find solutions to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is important, that you don't give up. In the past, we had challenges, and we were able to work around them. So, do you feel as though, you know, we're losing it?
Not really, because the Prime Minister really has a vision, and I don't think, you know, it's anything that will lead the country astray. In other words, even the BWU and all the workers, all the union, there's very, very a lot of strife going on, and, you know, pulling here and pulling there, and I can't understand it.
But that's not new, and isn't that part and parcel of what happens in a democracy?
Yeah, that's politics, yeah.
It's politics, it's human nature.
Mm.
And, you know, those who lead in circumstances where there are those who will have different opinions within their parties, outside of their parties. And leadership demands that you are able to get consensus as much as possible. And where you can't get consensus, that you get a majority view, and you work with that. But I don't think that you can, you sound as though what we are experiencing is something unusual. This is the norm.
Mm.
That's what I think.
Well, I'm just praying and hoping that whatever contribution, who has already worked hard and build this country from where it's coming from. But the youth nowadays, they don't want to work. There's a major project that should be on stream, and that is agriculture, because the tourism, it can't depend now, can't depend on that.
Yeah, but people face a lot of problems in agriculture. The pretty larceny and that sort of stuff is major. The monkey problem is also a big problem for people, you know. And we talk around these things, but we don't come up with real solutions. I need to hear from some of the people, as I said earlier, the people in agriculture need to speak for themselves. And, you know, not everybody, you know, some people are reporting, you know, that there are considerable challenges in trying to take that particular sector forward.
Anyway, I just hope the governor of the central bank is on the right track, as you know, what he's prejudging, because saying that before the next 2 years before the economy can even start to grow.
But you speak as somebody who, you've been living in Barbados for a number of years. It sounds as though you have an accent. So it means that you weren't born here, but you've adopted Barbados as your home for how many years?
Yes, I've worked here for the last 14 years.
14 got years?
Married. Yeah, got married and settled down now. So I'm retired now, and that's what I'm saying. I'm just hoping that the NI is not really getting into any difficulty that pensioners can't get the pension.
So for you, settling in Barbados, so originally what, Jamaican?
Yes, okay. Originally. All my children in Jamaican. I brought up my last son now, because I only have my wife. I haven't got any relatives here.
Right.
But I have a brother who used to run the pottery in Fairfield.
Yes. So for you, making the transition to Barbados, how do you see this country change in these 14 years or so?
Well, it has developed vastly as I came here in 2006. But because of the last administration, boy, that was something else. Now that we have get over that, I expect the leader to lead on a firm, in other words, whoever she has as our consultation and our advisor, I just hope that her vision will be able to, you know, go forward on the right footing. And I think she's capable, and she loves her country. I know that. She loves Barbados.
All right.
And I pray and hope that, you know, she has the strength to carry on, because I think she's the right person to govern, you know. I don't see any other party leaders. Mrs. DePisa, she's trying, but she hasn't got the support.
Mm. Well, we all recognize that the Democratic Labour Party has a lot of work to do, and if they are able to make a comeback in the next general elections, they would have done remarkably well in the circumstances. It was very hard, very difficult period for them. Certainly, what is important here is that they must be able to articulate a vision for the country as well. It's not enough to just put licks in the government and say where the government is failing. people also expect that given the kind of challenges that the Dems had in the recent past, that they will be able to say, you know, these are the things that we believe can be done to take Barbados forward. So we all watch with interest to see what will happen in that regard. I want to thank you very much for your contribution. I suppose my colleague here, Dennis Johnson, is one who has been, I suppose he deals with the call-in program far more than I do, since he is more intimately involved. He's either producing the program or moderating the program. And therefore, I suppose, Dennis, your perspective on basically what is emerging, let's say, within the last couple of days or so, as the principal concerns that people are putting to us here.
Morning, David. I think once the St. George North by-election has gone off the radar, people seem to have taken a rest from either discussing other matters, or perhaps the politics is what concerns them most and the other things don't. The colleague just spoke to mentioned the situation that I highlighted yesterday morning. It was on the front page of The Nation yesterday morning about the situation with the national insurance. To me, the concern was that in addition to the actuary talking about less contributions coming in because of less people working and more people asking for funds from the NIS, in addition to getting the haircut when government did the reorganizing of their debit, the problem was the lack of information, the lack of updated reports coming from the NIS. And that's not the only organization in Barbados that has had this question about how often you get reports and what, you know, if the public is being given the information that's required at any point. We have a seemingly disregard for sharing information with the public. There was a discussion yesterday with a former minister in the last administration talking about the issues concerning the cave and the lack of information as to the benefits associated with this arrangement. And I pointed out that while the Hilton was used as an example of a government-private sector operation where the government owned the operation but it was managed by somebody else, we don't have information on what the Hilton arrangement is. We don't know what the management fee is paid, if there's a level that they're supposed to keep occupancy at, a level they're supposed to do advertising at. None of these things are in the public domain, and the public don't seem to mind. There is no great clamor to doing it. So the issues, once they fall outside of politics, seem to not be of any great concern to the people who call brass tacks.
Part of the problem that supporters of the Democratic Labour Party will have is that immediately after the general election, a lot of those people seem to have gone into their shell. Mm-hmm. But in recent months, I noticed that there was this resurgence. They were starting to be critical, coming out trying to basically set up a path for the Democratic Labour Party. This, by election result, has hit them. Mm-hmm. That's my sense. And therefore, they're now going to retreat. They will come back, but for now, they may very well retreat, having not had the kind of result that they wanted. Because that would have inspired them into believing that the DLP is on the mend and is coming back. So we are going to notice that there is a reduction in that kind of participation. And the issues, I suppose, we are the ones who have to, the people in the media, the ones who would have to be more involved in articulating what are seen as some of the pressing issues that we need to have some attention paid to.
Yeah, but David, the point is, however, that you were making a contribution with a caller earlier, and the caller was talking about whether or not every solution requires a government directive. I kind of agreed with the point, because we seem, as I said, it seems that once there is not a political side to the discussion we're having or an argument, it becomes of no interest to anyone. I listened with interest this morning to the contribution from the young caller who said he was in England and came back. And I sat here in bemusement, let me put it that way. Because here we are talking, he mentioned Black Lives Matter, which is something that originated in the U.S., but he wanted a Bajan independent response to something, a movement that was started in the U.S. And I smiled at it. It didn't originate in Barbados. So was the connection with an independent Barbadian deciding to go along with an issue that started in the U.S.? Yes, we may see the parallels in the way we operate in the Caribbean, or we may take it up on behalf of our brothers and sisters in the U.S., but it was originated in the U.S. situation, okay? One. Two, he also talked about the Independence Parade. I've been around parades from, I remember seeing the first one in 66 as a member of, you know, scouts and cadets looked forward to the parade, still like the look. But it's a colonial thing. The trooping of the color, the standing in uniform is a colonial thing. So if we're talking about independence, we're deciding what colonial things we'll hold on to. Nelson came down and, you know, that was a colonial thing. Well, they say it was a colonial thing, but as I pointed out, Bajans put it up. But there are aspects of our past that we hold on to and we consider it part of our present. And then there are other aspects that we say, well, you know, we're independent, what are we doing that for? And to me, it's an amusing, you know, contradiction, for want of a better term.
This fellow, it says here, good morning. This is Colin Spencer. I assume this is Colin Spencer, the Calypsonian. A question for David Ellis. With reference to what he stated moments ago, I'd like him to tell the public, if you can recall, what was the BLP's vision for Barbados going into the 2018 elections? Well, that's easy. I thought that it was clear that the economic situation confronting Barbados at the time was the most pressing issue that they dealt with. As a vision, to tackle that and to put Barbados back on a growth path. That was what was articulated. In addition to the side issues such as what we face with the buses and the garbage trucks and stuff like that. You see, depending upon how committed you are to a party, you may or may not hear those things. If you are a Dem, and you know, you may not even listen to what they say on the platform, because you have no interest in that. Don't read the manifesto. You don't buy into what they see as what is wrong. So you may not hear it, but that's my recollection. And if you really want to test us any further, you certainly can call rather than just send me a note. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, welcome to the program.
Hi, David.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
Right. Yesterday, I happened to have heard former Senator Maxine McLean, mm-hmm. and she put down what I call a good dissertation. But what it revolved about, what it span on, was I want to know. People want information. We are a well-informed society. The electronics now have it that you could get knowledge on anything in the palm of your hand. You don't got to go to any library. You don't got to wait for a professor or anything like that. But then I think people will tell you, man, look, I call in. But you know, I call in ain't going to make no difference. It is as it is. Nobody ain't going to listen to you. It's a warm party. You hear those things. But right now, the biggest thing is the COVID. And people want to know. And except for a program which you had, which was, I would say, a sheer happenstance, where you had on the medical people, it evolved into a real forthright commentary. And since then, everything has sort of, you get the occasional thing from the minister, the occasional thing from you don't have a czar, the person who's in charge of the COVID team. But I think barbarians are, we talk about this education. You see people in big countries do a town hall virtual every week. And sometimes the same questions go to top men like Fauci. And, you know, he would smile and he would get around it and he would skirt around. But he would tell you, yeah, I've heard that before. But people do not like you to be talking down to them once you are in a position. They say, listen, I know like you. They might not have all the facts. For instance, I think we are at the stage now that we could pause and do an overview of the COVID. Where we were 8 months ago, 6 months ago, 3 months ago, where we are now, and where we hope to be at the opening of the year.
Why is that important?
Pardon?
Why is that important? No.
Okay. For instance, education. I started a conversation with you a few weeks ago, but it was sort of a German time. And you said we would have to take this back up. I think children are going to be, or are, the biggest fallout of this COVID, not only in Barbados, but the world. And the cost is not going to be just the tourism cost, the foreign exchange cost, the foreign reserves cost. It will be children who will also feed into that. Look at the learning deficit, the academic deficit, the whatever deficit you care to call it. That is one. Look at what happened to CXC. We could look back at that. CXC was rushed, and I'm going to make bold and say it was watered down. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, apart from Miss Mary Redmond and maybe one other person, Ralph Jemmett, I haven't heard any person address, not even the minister or anything ministerial or regional, how are we going to treat to the syllabus? Are we going to try to complete the syllabus as per usual by June in next year or May in next year? Can we? Are we able to do it? What holds ahead? We're still in phase one of this COVID. We're not in phase two. If you've checked epidemiology over the years, there's the lag phase, you know, the metropolis and all of them, they will get their problems, then they come down. So I think we are very well in one. The next thing is, how are we going to provide a cushion for those children who are the slower learners, who cannot pick up as sharp if you up tempo? Are you going to give them another year, an extra year at the CXC? And what about those who are in fourth and third? Because as you know, David and Dennis, that the whole, if it is CXC, GCE, it is a continuum that begins in third form. And once you go into what I call anti-phase in the third form, that will go right through for the next 3 years. Then it was the learning deficit. That's the term I wanted. Then there is the nutritional deficit. There are children, Mr. Ellis, who, because of COVID, do not get a proper meal every day because they're away from school. And in secondary, I think if you're talking about Republican state and all those highfalutin things, the time has come now that, especially in these times where two parents are not working, for secondary school children to get a free meal. That will help to take the load off the parents and knocking on doors and asking for it. Because once your children get a good meal when the day comes, you're fairly relieved. And there's then the technological deficit. And then there's the deviancy. I said to, I think it was Dennis a few weeks ago, you look around and you see children who you know should be at school are out and about. There's no social distancing. The children who finished school when the guillotine came down in March, who would have said, I ain't going back to school? Those that have gone back do not know how to speak to teachers. They've gone, and I'm going to use a word in its broadest sense, they are now without order. They are disorderly. And we've all seen what happened there a few days ago, the thing that went around, the video. You know, the child has no respect, doesn't know how to speak to a teacher. You see, and you will get people saying, oh, no. Let us look for some sociological or something. But the child just does not know how to speak to the teacher, deviancy. And the last thing I would like to look at, I looked at the past, I looked at the present, the XCA, I look at what's that, the future. And this is the vaccine. And again, I think we struck up a little chord, but barbarians weren't ready for the talk yet, so I back off. They're ready for it now. And a few nights ago, somebody sent me so much rubbish about the AstraZeneca vaccine. The anti-vax crowd is out. David, I know that there are folks who don't want their children to have a vaccine. Growing up, we had to take the vaccine. We are because of the vaccines, and our parents are. And this anti-vax thing came. There was a lady with an English accent, so I suppose she's British. And she rushed over that part with the code name. Now, all new pharmaceutical items have a code for obvious reasons. This is how you have a code to get in your phone for obvious reasons. They have their code. But as the world then comes to a focal point, whether it is America, North America, Europe, and so on, you then start to exchange information and ideas and go into peer reviews. So she saw something like Chad or X1, I. Okay, and she interpreted that to mean 0 multiplied by 1. It was OX for Oxford. Okay, X and then 1 was the continuation. So she took, but then she rushed on to the section which dealt with the what you call the recombinant DNA, mRNA. That's high level. Molecular biology. And she saw the part there with a code for tissue, what you call tissue culturing, to grow the RNA, then going into DNA to get ready. But and she you know, if you, it's nothing to hide. You use a part of the human body for culturing it. Which part you use? You use that part that the actual virus loves. Some viruses love.
I get the general point you're making though about.
You remember that?
The fact that we have a situation here where there are, you know, we talked earlier about these conspiracy theorists.
Conspiracy theorists, yeah.
And there are people who have been waging a campaign against vaccines, even before COVID. Even before COVID, I mean,
it's been growing. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that movement, and there has to be a lot of effort put into trying to convince some people that vaccines are necessary. But thank you very much for your contribution.
Before you go, David, do you remember me putting a question to you back then about? I think I asked you, would you allow a child of yours to go to school in an environment, you make sure your child gets a vaccine, but the other children are coming in. This is a question now we have to ask.
Okay.
And to be answered.
We got to go. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks.